Okay. Okay, so let's pick up where we left off. I believe the last thing we were discussing was the different understandings of Tosfos Shita, Tosfos' understanding of the Sugya and Dafkin Lamed Aleph, of Yad Abbas Agufo Garir, right? So we saw two different interpretations of Shita's Tosfos, right? What do we say? I think we saw the Meiri on the one hand and then Bina Chanana on the other hand. Just understanding what is the problem of Yad Lo Naich. So what do we see there? Q, you remember?
The problem of
what's the problem of Yado Basagufo Gari according to Tosfos? And we saw a bit of a machlokes in interpreting that stance between the Meiri and Rabbeinu Chanana. In interpreting Shitas Tosfos.
Not the problem of interpreting Tosfos.
Or that position at least.
I didn't say anything about it.
Alright, Jeremy?
We said the Meiri said. Use the lashon of kitzara chachzira, so we thought it had to do with the chisara and the shemanacha.
Right, it seemed like the Meiri was saying that the reason why Yad Abbas Agufo Garir is because he's going to be moving his hand out of the rishos that it's in. That seemed to be a chisara in the hanacha.
Whereas the Rach said it's a chisara and chiyuv rishiya. I mean, he didn't say it as explicitly.
What did the Rach say?
So makom shagufo made sham yado hashiva.
That actually does seem very explicit, right?
Right, because it's about the makom shagufo.
Right, it seems like it's a chisaron in the chila for shios. You can't quite say that you change rishios now, since the hand itself is actually in both rishios at the same time. Those are two different understandings of this position of yada basar gufo garyer. Is that a problem in the hanacha, which brings Tosfos closer to the Rashi camp? Or is this a problem in the Chila for Shuyos, which would be an absolutely independent concern? So we just ended off in the last 2 minutes turning to the Sugya on Sadi Beis Amid Aleph in Perek Hamatznia, where we were trying to give a potential nafkamina to this Mismachokas to the Meiri and the Rebbeinu Chanana. So what do we have in the bottom? We get skip. What do we have in the Mishnah on Sadi Aleph Amid Beis? What's happening there? Chana, you see the Mishnah on Sadi Aleph Amid Beis? Just give us a quick overview of the Mishnah. What's the fundamental debate that we're concerned with?
That if, like, you have a basket of fruit or something and it moves from Rishuter Yachid to half Rishuter Rabin, if it counts as moving to Rishuter Rabin.
Right, so what is it, what's the contingent on?
Whether the stuff inside is considered part of the Kli or not.
Exactly. If you hold Eged Kli Shmei Eged, then you're not Chayav for Chutzah until the entire Kli changes Rishuyos. If you hold Eged Kli Lav Shmei Eged, so then you're going to focus on the entities inside the Kli. So if each particular Chardal is now entirely in the Rosh Hashanah Rabim, even though the box itself is not, so then you'll be Chayiv for the Chardal. If you hold Eged Kli Shmei Eged, then you view it based on the Kli, and you're only Chayiv when the Kli changes Rosh Hashanah. That's the debate in the Mishnah. For our interest, the Gemara on Sadi Beis seems to have a similar machlokes, not about Eged Kli Shmei Eged, but what about Yossi?
I don't know.
Sadi Beis Amid Aleph. Did you see the Gemara?
I don't remember.
You remember if you saw it or remember if what
I don't
the Gemara
remember
said?
If I saw it.
Oh. Yeah. Alright. Yeah. Jennifer, you remember the Gemara on Sadi Beis Amid Aleph? Why is this machlokes relevant to our Sugya and Daf Gimel?
Whether Eged Yad is
Shmei Eged. And it seems, the nafkamina on the Gemara seems to be, that if you put your hand into another Rishos with an object inside it, if you hold Eged Yad Lav Shmei Eged, what would the din be? You'd be chayev, because this kli is now in the other rishos. But if you hold eged yad shmei eged, so then since your hand seems to be still attached to your body, so you're not chayev for the kli being in the new rishos. That seems to be the machlokas in the Gemara and Sadi Beis Amid Aleph. That's fine. But then the Gemara comes along, and the Gemara has a distinction. Right? The Gemara is worried about a potential stira, so what does the Gemara distinguish between? Q.
The end of Sadi Beis Amid Aleph?
Yeah. Before the Mishnah.
Between the Ma'al Mishnah.
Right, before, above and below three Tvachim.
Right.
Okay. Now, the problem here is we have Machlokas Rishonim, how to understand that distinction. Why is that significant, above and below three Tvachim?
Below three Tvachim, it could be considered Nayach al Karka.
Okay.
So it brings it back to Rashi.
Right, but what's not clear? What's not clear is
above 10?
No. Even within this distinction of below, above and below three, you have an ambiguity, which Tosos seems to take a stance on. Let's read Tosos quickly. Q, you can read it.
Like I confess, we couldn't just
Because the Rashi is reading this Gemara how? So the Gemara says, let's say you hold Eged Kli as Lav Shmei Eged, and therefore you should really be chayiv the moment you put your hand into this new Rishos. Now that's Nistar, that's Mufrach from our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says you're not chayiv until you actually put it down into the guy's hand, right? So how does Rashi explain that in this Gemara? What Tosas just quoted, Nihid Lav Shmei Eged Hanacha Leka. There's no Hanacha in this instance. There's no Hanacha Gabi Karka. Would you say Rashi is Lashitasa? To what we saw in Daf Gimel?
Yeah,
very much so. All right, there's no Hanacha over here because it's not Al Gabi anything. It's just hanging in the airspace of the Rishas. Okay. Tosos, what does he say? Now, this is a fascinating question. Because what's Tosos asserting? Okay, that's fine. That seems to be the case in that Dalid. So if you want to say that Kluta is Kmisha Hon Chadamia, which is what, generally speaking? Chana, what's Kluta Kmisha Hon Chadamia? Yeah, that an object in the airspace counts as its Munach in the Rishos. Okay, we'll see that when we get to Daf Dalid. So what's Tosis' assumption here?
That
if you were to hold Kluta Kmisha Hon Chadamia,
it wouldn't matter if it's below or above Shoshana.
Exactly. Meaning, Lavud, which halachically means that anything below Tvachim is Ki'ilu, it's on the Karka, is the same thing as the Mandamar Kluta Kamisha Hunchadamya above three Tvachim. Okay, that's a very strong claim. We'll have to assess that when we get to Kluta. One might say that even though halachically Lavud and Kluta look similar, you still might say there are differences between them. Okay? So we'll see that later. But what's the solution to this problem? How does Tosas answer that question? Now, the question is like this. If you hold Kluta's Kamisha Hunchadamya, so then our Mishnah, the moment you put your hand into the other Rishos, even above three Tvachim, it's Ki'ilu, it's Munach, and you should be Chayiv. It's against the Mishnah. So what's the answer? Rachel, what's the answer?
So Tosas says that here we're not working within, right, Rabba, who said told us the Mishnah, but Rabbi Kiva is the only one.
Exactly. In a Hanami, this is incompatible with holding that Eged Yad is Lav Shmei Eged. Because if you were to hold Eged Yad is Shmei Eged, if you were to hold Eged Yad is Lav Shmei Eged, then you should be Chayiv. Correct? Because of Kluta.
Yeah.
So basically, holding Eged Yad Shmei Eged undermines the Kluta. Okay? So Eged Yad Shmei Eged has the ability to undermine Kluta, meaning halachically it would have been considered Nach. But because of Eged Yad Shmei Eged, now what? It's not considered Nach. Or because of Eged Yad Shmei Eged, halachically it's not considered to be in this new Rishos. How do you read that solution of Tosos? Tosos doesn't say, but how do you understand it? You think he's accepting Rashi?
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody disagree with Rachel? Ari, you agree with Rachel?
Not sure.
Not sure.
I think the easiest way to get out of it, the first thing you would think of, oh, it's the hand's not even in there, so it's not even a problem with Kluta. I feel
right.
Like he'd add on.
But
another,
why would you say that?
He'd add on another line if it was Rachel's interpretation.
And say it's not enough.
Yeah.
Okay, but stay sharper. Meaning, depends a little bit on how you understand Kluta here. But the whole point of Kluta Kamisha Hunchadamya
is that it is Nach.
Is that it's halachically Nach even though it's not. I mean, the object's flying through the airspace, and yet halachically we say it's Kilu, it's Nach. Right? It's a halachic Hanacha. So everyone knows it's not a real Hanacha. So the question is to say that now because of Eged Yad, Shmei Eged, so now that's going to undermine the Hanacha of Kluta? That's very peculiar. Why should that undermine this Hanacha? If an object's flying through the airspace, that's considered Nach. So the fact that it's in the hand, and the hand is considered, you know, pulled into the other Rishus, in terms of Hanacha, why should that undermine a halachic Hanacha of Kluta Kamisha Hunchadamya? Chana, do you hear that? You look puzzled.
No, I hear that. Yeah, I hear that.
Here. Q, you hear it?
Yeah, but I don't think it's such a problem. If you actually say, you have to say a little stronger. As opposed to that the hand is, you know, pulling it in, it's actually in.
Okay, but that makes sense. Meaning that's what Jeremy's arguing. That if you want to say that the significance of Eged Yad Shmei Eged is that now the hand is considered to you in the other Rishus, so I understand why you're Pater in this case. But if you want to say that the hand undermines the status of the Hanacha, it's hard to see why Munach in the hand is worse than just flying through the airspace of the Rishus. Okay? Rachel, did you hear that?
Yeah.
I'm not saying you're wrong, but I'm saying why I think this is a more palatable solution to Tosfos. Now, I'd point out, Rabbi Kiviger makes this comment on Daf Dalet. What's Rabbi Kiviger's note on Daf Dalet with respect to this Tosfos?
Just correct them and just connect it to the Tosfos
here. Kiviger points out there's really a machlokas between Tosfos and about this question.
Yeah.
Who saw it?
Yeah.
Saw it?
I didn't see that part of it work.
Okay, so look at Tosfos Dibra Masil Aval Lamat, second class Tosfos in Dalet and Dalet. So Aval Lamat Amiyut Tfachim Dibra Kol Chayiv Damar Kut Kamisha Hun Chadamya. Because the Gemara here is suggesting, it's very hard to talk about Tari, but the Gemara here is suggesting that everybody agrees Kluta Kamisha Hun Chadamya below 10 Tfachim. I mean, everybody would agree. The only Machlokas is above 10 Tfachim. We'll get to this. So Tosfos says, well, wait a second, how are you going to read the Mishnah? Kshachifetz Biyado Shel Oni O Shel Balabayis Lo Shayich Kluta. The hawk is shenosin balabayis lesoch yada vahotzi lo mechayev. So Tosfos here just has a broad sweeping principle that you never say kluta when the object is in your hand, and this is not contingent on yad on eged yad shmei eged or lab shmei eged. This is just a general understanding that kluta is when the object is unadulterately, I don't know if that's a word, when the object is just in the airspace of the rishus, when there's something else blocking the object's existence in the Rishus, like a Yad, then you can't say Kluta Kamisha Hun Chadamya. And that's in contradiction to Tosfos and Sadi Bezim et Aleph. Because Tosfos and Sadi Bezim et Aleph is saying that it has to do with Eged Yad Shmei Eged. Okay? That's a very important point. But why is that significant? We'll get to its significance in a second. So then Tosfos has another answer. Vari Mefarish, bottom of Tosfos on Sadi Bezim et Aleph. What does the re-suggest? Q, what does the re-suggest?
On
Tari Bet Amidalef, yeah. The Rima Farish, last four lines of Tosos. A very fascinating answer. What's Tosos saying?
We say above three, and you can say that it's Eged Yad Shmei Eged, but he's also combining with Yadav Batar Gufogare.
Okay, so say, why is this important? What's the significance of this Tosos?
I'm not sure what's interesting this answer from the first one.
From the Rabbeinu Ochanan answer? Who is Rabbeinu Ochanan, by the way? Before the Hikshay Rav Bochanan?
Yeah.
Who's Bochanan here? So Bochanan is the Ri's son. Bochanan. He wrote Tosfos to Avodah Zarah. So but then you have the Ri himself giving a different answer. So I guess Bochanan asked the question, the Ri gives an answer. Bochanan wanted to say that if you hold Klutas, then you have to hold Eged Yad Shmei Eged. What's the Ri's answer? Hasam the Malam Gimel, the Islam the Mimer, the Shmei Eged. Kedam Parakama, the other bus of Gufo Gari, Hachal Matam, give him the Lav Shmei again. Yeah, Rachel.
The distinction that Gemara was never about from Rashi.
Right, he's arguing on Rashi.
Right.
And how does he understand the chilek between above Gimel and below Gimel?
It's just about where do we apply this principle? About the, meaning, is even within Rava, we'll distinguish about where we apply it.
And why is that significant?
In terms of. In terms of relating back to the two ways of understanding
two ways of understanding Yad Basar Gufar, and in contrast to Rabbi Chanan Shita that we just read.
It seems like we don't really care about the lack of Hanacha. I mean, we assume that if we're going to say Yad Basar Gufar Grira, so.
I say it's sharper, meaning. What is Rabbi Chanan and the Ri both have significant statements here about Eged Yad or Yad Basar Gufar Garir? I want to know what's the relationship between those two shitas in understanding Yad Basar Gufar Garir. Yes, do you understand the question? No? Rabbi Chanan says that Yad Basar Gufar Garir could undermine Kluta. Right? If you hold Yad Basar Gufar Garir, Eged Yad Shmei Eged, it won't be considered Kluta in this case. Okay?
Okay.
The Ri says that the distinction between Lamala Migimel and Lamata Migimel is contingent. Sorry. Whether you hold Eged Yad Shmei Eged will be determined whether it's Lamata Migimel or Lamala Migimel. Okay? That's the Ri's solution. The Ri's understanding of the Gemara.
What's Eged Yad Shmei Eged?
Eged Ach Me'eged is what Chana, what Jennifer explained, is that if the just the object moves into the other rishos in your hand, so do you view it based on the object and say you're chayiv because the object changes rishos, or do you say since your hand stems from the other rishos, so then you're pater because your hand never fully changed rishos? Okay, what do you think, Jeremy? What do you think?
Not sure.
Let's put this into context. What did the Rashba, what did the Meiri and the Ritva suggest on Daf Gimel? About Eged Yad Shmei Eged? That even Lamata Mi Gimel, or the difference between Rashi and Tosos is Lamata Mi Gimel and another Rishos. According to Rashi, it will be considered Munach. According to Tosos, that it's a Din in Eged Yad Shmei Eged, it won't be considered Munach. Meaning, you have a very fundamental machlokas here, both between the Ritva on Daf Gimel and Tosos on Sadi Bezim and Aleph, and seemingly two different deos in Tosos between the Ri and Rav Chanan about what Eged Yad Shmei Eged means. Would you say that Eged Yad Shmei Eged has the ability to undermine something that's defined as a Hanacha, such as Kluta, which is the position of Rav Chanan? Eged Yad Shmei Eged undermines the Kluta Kamisha Hunachadamya. Similarly, the Ritva and the Meiri and Daf Gimel say that when the chefetz is in your hand in another rishus, Eged Yad Shmei Eged undermines its status as being munach in that other rishus, because it either pulls it back into the rishus or it's not considered a hanacha. But the Ri in Tosan Sadi Bezim and Aleph seems to be saying that whether you hold Eged Yad Shmei Eged doesn't determine whether it's munach or not. To the contrary, it's determined by whether it's considered munach. So if it's lamata migimel in the other rishus, the Ri says, then you'd have to concede that Eged Yad is lav Shmei Eged. Whereas the Rashi was arguing to the contrary. If you hold Eged Yad Shmei Eged, then it won't be considered Munach even Lamata in another Rishos. That's a very powerful Machlokas, meaning is Eged Yad Shmei Eged a function of whether it's Munach? If it's Munach, then it can't be Eged Yad Shmei Eged, or do you say the exact opposite? If Eged Yad Shmei Eged, then it can't be Munach. That seems to be the Machlokas here. Is that crystal clear? Okay, good. That's just the point I wanted to make in just closing on that question. So I think that will be contingent on this Meiri question, the Meiri's reading versus Rabbi Nochanan's question. To the extent that it's a question of whether it's considered Nach, so then you might say that if you have reason to believe it's Nach independently, so then you would say, like the Ri says, once you hold it's Nach, you can't say Eged Yad Shmei Eged. I think that makes a lot of sense. If you want to say that it's a question of which Rishus it's in, then you'd say that Eged Yad Shmei Eged has the ability to undermine even something that's antecedently viewed as a Hanacha, either through Lavid or Kluta Kamishan Chadam. Okay, that's just the point I wanted to make. Yeah?
I just don't get why Rabbeinu Chanan telling us that Rava must hold Eged Yad Shmei Eged means anything. I mean, why do you say that?
Because it means that Eged Yad Shmei Eged has the ability to undermine the Kluta Kamishan Chadam.
Why not vice versa? Why isn't it because he thinks that because he thinks that our mission is in accord with Kutik Mishan Chadamya, therefore he must hold. Right, so it's Kutik Mishan Chadamya.
Right, but he's being Mechadish that Kutik, that Eged Yad Shmei Eged has the ability to undermine Kuta. Who said that Eged Yad Shmei Eged has the ability to undermine Kutik Mishan Chadamya?
But I'm saying, isn't it vice versa? Isn't that because he holds Kutik Mishan Chadamya, he must hold Eged Yad? Meaning,
right, he's forced into the position. I mean, Tosus is forced into this position by, let's say, if he holds this by Kluta, then he has to hold this by Eged Yad. That's Tosus' argument. That's how Tosus got there.
Right.
But I want to know about about the internal relationship between Kluta and Eged Yad.
So now I'm just getting back to, I think, what we were talking about before, that you're assuming he's totally undermining, like, the applicability of Kluta, and not just solving the problem that he seems to be bothered by in the first place, which is just that there's now the fact that he holds Eged Yad Shmei Eged.
But what I'm pointing out is that you could have given another solution to that question of Tosos, and you could have said, like Tosos on Daf Gimel,
which is that, just
that
not
any
relevant,
time it's in your hand, then just Kuta is not a relevant is not applicable anymore.
Right. So
not because of Eged Yad Shmei Eged, but just because of the nature of Kuta.
Right. But so I'm saying, so this is a fairly strong reading of Eged Yad Shmei Eged. I'm just not sure if it's like meaning strong in that it, like, undermines any other, like, right, any under, like, meaning says.
Okay, so you're right. So Rabbi Chanan says it with respect to Kuta. And that might do be due to some peculiarity in Kuta.
Maybe he's just saying, like, in Echanami, Kuta applies. But because we say, holy Eged Ashmei Eged, so now we're going to consider there to be a Hanacha, even though...
That begs the question, why does Eged Yad have that power to undermine it? Which is precisely what the Re denies.
Right,
the Re denies, the Re holds that whether you hold Eged Yad is dictated by whether it's Munach. If it's Munach, then you can't hold Eged Yad. Okay. So let's move on to the second question, the other question we left off with on Daf Gimel, the distinction between Akira and Hanacha here. Okay. So what do we see? It's Machlokas Tosfos and Tosfos Rishonim about how to read the question of Hitbay Minei Rab Mi Rabbi Yitinu Chaver Ochen Amashkin Votziel Lachutz Ma Akira Skufa Akira Schefet Dami Machayev Adil Molo. So Tosos Shans, Tosfos Rishonim quotes the Rashba. The Rashba and Tosos is always Tosos Shans, Rashmi Shans. So who did the Rashba? How did the Rasha want to distinguish in the Gemara? Arya, what did the Rasha want to say? You can look at it. It's on the side of the Gemara. The Rashba Piresh.
Rashba Piresh Tanacha Pshitalei. Afilu Hachibayi Al Akira.
Okay, so how's the Rashmi Shans reading the Gemara? The suffix of Akira Skufuk Akira Schefet Stami is...
That Hanacha was obvious again?
Exactly. The Gemara knew that Hanachas Kufos Kanachas Chefetz Dami. The question is respect to Akira. Is beginning to walk, is that considered an Akira? Everyone knows that Hanachas Kufos Kanachas Chefetz. How does Tosfos know that? It was an English, just a point that the Gemara only raises it with respect to Akira. But what's the rationale to distinguish? So what does Tosfos cite? So what did the Gemara say that with respect to? Dilma Hanacha lo bai aval Akira bai. What din is that with respect to? Kluta? It's in the context of Kluta, correct, but there's a more specific application. Yes, so you see it?
No.
We said it twice.
You have it on Dalam and Base, the second to last small line. Yeah, but the Gemara wants to know with respect to which din. Makom Dalet al Dalet. Do you need a Hanacha from a place that's Dalet al Dalet Tvachim? Okay. So the Gemara suggested that maybe that's only true with respect to Akira. You're not Chayav for Shabbos. If you take an object off something that's a small area, that's not Dalet al Dalet Tvachim. Take something off a branch, so you're not Chayav. You need to do an Akira from Makom Dalet al Dalet. And the Gemara suggests maybe that's only true for the Akira. But the Hanacha, even if you put it down onto a branch which doesn't have Makom Dalet al Dalet, then you'd be Chayav. That's the Gemara's suggestion. Now, is that Kepler Maskan of the Gemara, or is the Gemara just raising that as a possible way of rejecting?
I don't think it's Maskan.
Yeah, it's not the Maskan of the Gemara. Now, this is very fascinating. The Rash Mishans here is bringing a proof to distinguish between Akira and Hanacha from a Havmin of the Gemara, even though that itself seems to be rejected the Maskan of the Gemara in Daf Dalet and Daf Hei. Right?
Same thing with Tosfos talking about the fact that the mission is like Rabbi Akiva, so therefore we have to understand what he would say for Kluta Kamesh.
Right, but here it's different. Meaning here he's trying to say, Tosfos is saying that you couldn't have maintained the mission as Rabbi Akiva because you'd run into serious problems. So how could the Gemara have suggested that?
Here
the Gemara is suggesting a distinction within Dalet al Dalet as a Havamina, rejected the Maskan, and Tosfos says that's why the question here is only with respect to Akira. It's very peculiar. Now,
I don't know that the Gemara totally rejects this. I'm just meaning, like, yeah, ultimately when you have Rava, it says Yad Oshad, then you don't have to make any distinction. But we bring that line of
Dilma. I think in principle the Gemara is fine with it.
What?
I think in principle the Gemara is fine with it.
We're fine with what?
With
Dilma and Nahu do it.
Yeah.
I mean, they bring it twice, and the second time also, they make no kibta to fit that assumption. Meaning, like, fine.
Okay, maybe. We'll see. That will determine when we read the Gemara carefully on Dalet and Hay. Okay, we'll determine that how much that's rejected Lamaskana. So, what does Tosfos hold in our Gemara? Q. Yeah, the Gemara is equally masufik about Akira as it is with respect to Hanach. So, what's Machlokas Rashi? What's Machlokas Tosfos and Tosfos Shans? How do you explain that Machlokas?
Whether Akira has more significance over Hanacha.
Oh, excellent. So you might say, This is a fundamental machlokas here about the mechayev of hotza, like we saw earlier. And Tosos Shantz holds, Tosos Rashba holds, that the Akira is more important to the mechayev of hotza than the Hanacha. So whereas Hanacha, you can get away with Maisa Kol Dehu. Remember we saw Tosos on Tzadi Gimel Amid Aleph? Wasn't Tosos Tzadi Gimel Amid Aleph? Tosos on Tzadi Gimel Amid Aleph wanted to know, why do you need a pasuk to tell you that Ukir Bezemei Niach is Pater? Because Tosos said, you might have thought that even with just an Akira and Chilef Rishios, without a Hanacha, you still would have been Chayev. Because a Hanacha Kol Shu, you don't really need much of a Hanacha. Right, so you might say over here that the Akira is significant, and anything constitutes a Hanacha. So you don't need Dalet HaDalet. And also Hanachas Gufos Kanachas Chefetz Dami. Who says something, who seems to say something in that direction, explicating Tosos Shantz's Svara? Who saw Tosos Rush? So Tosos Rush is very strong language, right? He says why? What?
He just said that Akira is Chashuv.
Yeah, he said because Akira is more Chashuv, so therefore the Akira needs Akira Skuf, there you have a real question about Akira. Since the Hanacha is not Chashuv, so then you don't have any shaila about Hanacha Skuf or Hanacha Chefetz Dami. But I would note, so that would be a fundamental read of the Gemara here. Whereas Tosos himself would be saying that Akira and Hanacha are Shaveh. Right, there's no reason to assume that one is more important than the other. That could be a machlok. Or, let's say particularly about the question of whether you need Makom Dalet HaDalet, which was Tosos Shantz's Raya. Right, you see, with respect to Dalet HaDalet, we're willing to distinguish between Akira and Hanacha. So Tosos might say that the question of Dalet HaDalet is not relevant to the question of Akira Skufa Kakira Shefetz Dami. Why might that be? Why would you say that a suggested distinction with respect to Dalet HaDalet is not relevant to Akira Skufa Kakira Shefetz? So probably. Let's assume that it is. I don't think Tosos Shantz is saying that this is a case of Dalet HaDalet. I think he just thinks that you see there's room to distinguish in Akira and Nacha.
The Makom versus the... Maybe even if by Hanacha would require Dalet HaDalet in terms of the Makom, like, whatever. We assume that Hanacha Gufo is like... I don't know how to explain it.
Okay. So, just first of all, take a quick look on Dalet HaMed Aleph. I gave you the Tosos. Tosos Dira Masla, V'haba Ina Akira V'Hanacha Me'Algabi Mokom Dalet. Right, you need an Akira V'Hanacha Me'Algabi Mokom Dalet. Omer Rabbeinu Tam. Who saw this Tosos? Chani, you want to read it? So just notice when the Gemara said, V'Ina Akira V'Hanacha Mokom Dalet, the Gemara is talking about both Akira and Hanacha, and the rationale that Tosos gives is limited to Hanacha. That the Regilus is to put a Chefetz, it's normal to put a Chefetz down on a substantial place, but Tosos doesn't seem to say that it's Rugil to take things off a substantial place. Right, you take things off a peg in your house or something like that. Okay, go on. Okay, maybe in the Mishkan they did a Hanachos to Makom Chashuv. So this is all Hanacha focused. But go on. The Oda Marie. Okay, this is a very fascinating suggestion. What's the Ri's suggestion?
That the
The pasuk is really about the person. Right, al yotze ishim komo yom haShabbos, al yotze ishim carry. So mim komo refers not to the place of the person alone, which is dalet amos. Right, we know mekomo shalom is dalet al dalet, but also to the place of the chefetz, which is dalet tvachim al dalet tvachim. It's a massive chiddush. Right, Tosos is saying that a pasuk which is referring to the person equally refers in a different sense to the chefetz. So you need a mekom shal chefetz. Now, would this be limited to, would this refer to Akira or Hanacha? Al Yotzi Ishmi Mekomo B'Yom HaShabbos. Yeah, it sounds purely Akira. Right? Don't take from its place. It doesn't mention anything about Hanacha. So if you take this last suggestion, Al Yotzi Ishmi Mekomo, then it would seem that the din of Dalet HaDalet is really Akira focused. If you took Tosis' first suggestion, it seems like it's purely Hanacha focused. So if you were to take the read, then you would say very nicely that Akira would need Dalet al Dalet, because that's the Pasuk. Hanacha wouldn't need Dalet al Dalet. And Tosos himself connects the dots on Dalet and Beis. Tosos Dir Maschel Vidilma. Vidilma Hanacha Hud Labayi Akira Bayi. Last line in Tosos. So three line Tosos. Fourth wide line on the page. Well, Fi Masha Pirash Dila El. I could explain the line in the Gemara that says that only Akira would need Dalet al Dalet, because that's what the Pasuk is referring to. Hanacha would never need. Now, if you say that, so would you accept Tosos Shantz's argument from the Gemara's distinction on Daf Dalet for Dalet al Dalet with respect to Akira Skufo Kakira Schefetz Dami? Aryeh, would you? Probably not. Right? Because you would say that's limited to the din of Akiras HaChefetz Mimkomo. So Dalet al Dalet is from Gzeres HaKatzav. Right? The question of Akiras Gufok Akiras HaChefetz Dami, which is a question of like the mechanism of Akira, so Lachora, that's not relevant to the Pasuk of Al-Yetzei Ish Mimkomo. Okay? So in large measure, this will depend on how you understand the Gemara's distinction of Dalet al Dalet.
Right. It seems backwards. If you think the Pasuk about Ish is really about HaChefetz, then it should be like
but it really has to do mimkomo, right? Akiras al yetzish mimkomo yom haShabbos. Mimkomo presupposes that the chefetz has a makom. There's never any supposition that the chefetz has a makom hanacha. That's the makom akira. Now the question of akiras kuv akiras chefetz dami, I don't think is a question about the makom haChefetz. It seems to do more with just whether the guf itself is considered to be munach. Right, so it seemed like it's a separate question. Okay. Now, I'll just make one more observation that Emes Tosos Harasha and Daf Dalet Mavis. The Gemara here has a suggestion that you could have Achshave. Right, Yad HaShalom, if he's Tosos has a suggestion really that even if something is not Dalet al Dalet, so Machshavto is Mashvile Makom. Right, your intention could give it the status of having a shame makom. So what did Tosfos Rosh say? Tosfos Rosh says, I think that suggestion of machshavto mashvile makom is actually limited only to hanachos. You can't say machshavto mashvile makom for an akira. Why?
Like by
hanacha,
like you can choose kind of like your
machshava counts,
but you can choose
where
to put
it.
But akira,
excellent.
Machshava is nothing because you can't choose
where to put it. Excellent. The makom ha'akira is not part of the ma'isa of hotza. I mean, that's not relevant information to the act of hotza. It's simply the place from which the object was taken. But the makom hanacha, the place where you're putting it, so that's part of your machshava of the ma'isa of hotza. So therefore, machshav tukvi mashvilei makom. But the machshava cannot make the akira a makom because that's never part of the action. It's the prehistory. Okay? So it's very interesting. So the Rush here, who actually argues earlier on Daf Gimel, that he thinks, or his rationale for Tosos Shantz, is that the akira is more chashuv, right? You need more for an akira, which we suggested earlier means that the akira is more part of the malacha of hotzah, and Daf Dalet Mebeis, so the Rush is actually arguing that the difference between machshavti mashvile makom for akira and hanacha is almost incidental due to the fact that the akira is not part of the makom akira is not part of the ma'isa hotza. Okay. I'm saying the Rush who on Daf Gimel wants to say that the difference between akira and hanacha is due to the mechayiv of melachas hotza, which is more significant. And Daf Dalet, that same Rush wants to say that the difference in machshavto mashvile makom is due to the technicalities of what the Maisa Akira is, and it doesn't include the place, whereas the Maisa Hanacha does include the place. He doesn't want to attribute that to a fundamental distinction in the Mechayiv of Akira and Hanacha. He wants to say it's due to the technicality of whether your Machshava is relevant to the Makom. Okay? So I'm just making that observation. Okay. That's what I wanted to say with respect to Tosos Rishonim and Tosos. So now we move on to what we're supposed to discuss today. Abaye Safik on the Gemara on Daf Kimon Bis. So, Jeremy, you want to read the Gemara? Amar Abaye?
Amar Abaye. Pshita liyado shadam ina lo kashut. harabim lo kirshus hayach kirshus harabim lo dam yam yado daan kirshus hayach lo dam yam yado dibala baris.
Okay, go on.
Vaya bae yado shalado amaho shatasa kikarmelis mikanasu rabanam ladure legabe.
Okay, good. So, what question do you want to know when you just read this Gemara as is?
What in the world does Rabbi's first statement mean? Like, Yado Shal Ademeinu Lo.
Okay, what's the case he's referring to? We have many cases of Yado Shal Ani in the Mishnah, right? We have cases of Chi, we have cases of Ptur. So which case is he referring to? Okay, that'll be one important question. What else would you ask when you read this Gemara?
You mean objective Rishut? Like a hand is a Rishut, or is it in reference to your body, is reference to, like, what's going on?
Because you want to know if there's an objective question about the Hagdara of Yad, or you want to know whether it's relative
right.
to a certain scenario, relative to the goof, relative to the shus.
Why did he assume that Yad, it would only be a karmless if, like, I mean, I guess, all right, it's just a Rabbanim.
Karmless?
Yeah.
Karmless
yeah.
It seems to be a shus only mijarabanim.
Right.
Would anybody else pose, what else would he pose when you see this Gemara here?
What did you do wrong that you deserve the knas?
What did you do wrong?
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll see.
What's the case?
You'll see Tosos actually has suffix whether the girsa is a knas or whether the girsa is mi kansu rabbanan mi asuhu rabbanan. Okay. Right, it may not be a knas.
Is Rashut Arab and Rashut Ayachir, are those two cases, are they like two sides of the same coin? It's really the same case? Or are we saying like, yeah, it's neither this one, neither that, Rashut Arabim, and Rashut Hayachin in two different cases.
Okay, good. I mean, that's part of the question of the Maskan of the Gemara.
Right.
When we say it's a karmelis, right? We're saying it's not fully Rashut Rabim, it's not fully Rashut Hayachin, it's kind of something in between. Right? Yeah, right.
I wouldn't be a Makom Ptur.
Why not say it's a Makom Ptur? Well, a karmelis is a Makom Ptur Midoraisa. Just Midrabanan, it's treated as Makom Isser.
Wouldn't like a Yad be more similar to like a less than Arba?
Right, so that's going to depend on the Gemara later on whether Yad Shalatim is Chashuv Aleik Adalat Adalit. Might be that the hand has a different definition. Okay. Which actually touches on this question because we're saying that a Yad has this rule breaking definition with respect to Rishuyos. And the Gemara later on says that Yad is a rule breaking with respect to its definition of Dalat Adalit. So it's very interesting that the Yad seems to have this peculiar status throughout all these halachos, which we'll try to pin down. But I think Jeremy was touching on this a little bit. Let's say just what's the relationship between Abaye's first statement? It's Eino Kirshus Rabim Velo Kirshus Hayachid. And then Abaye's second statement, Amal Shetasa Karmelis. Is the Tasa Karmelis, let's say, a function of his first statement? Once you realize it's not like Kirshus Rabim and it's not Kirshus Hayachid, so you say, oh, it has to be something in between like a Karmelis. Or maybe Abaye's, they're really two separate questions in the Gemara, really nothing to do with each other. I mean, it's really just a suffix of whether the Chachamim knas him when he puts his hand into another Rishus. Meaning, is karmelis actually meant literally here? That, oh, it's not a Rishus Ram, it's not a Rishus Ayachid, but it has to have some status, so now we want to know, is it a karmelis? Or is he saying, the Yad really is Malkum Ptur, like Chana was saying. I want to know whether the Chachamim knas you when you put your hand into a different Rishus on Shabbos. Is there a knas? But there's no real Havamina that it should have a status as a karmelis. Okay. So that would be contingent whether it's a natural outgrowth of his first question. The second question I would raise here is what's the relationship between Abaye's entire discussion and our previous Gemara, Yada Basar Gufo Garir? So is Abaye's question now a natural extension? Once you realize that Yada Basar Gufo Garir, that there's a strange relationship between the Yad and the Guf, so then you have to pose the question, wow, so is the Yad Kirshus Hayachid Kirshus Harabim? Remember, the case is the Yad's in one Rishus, and the Guf's in another Rishus. So essentially Abaye is asking the question differently. Not whether the Yad is Nigar Achar Gufo, but whether the Yad takes on the Shem Rishus of the Guf. Okay? We'll see that in the Rishonim in a second. Okay. Now we have a bit of a Girsa problem in the Gemara. What are the two Girsos here that the Rishonim raised?
You just said
okay, so before that. Most fundamental Girsa question in the Gemara.
Oh, well, the Yadodani
and Yadodani. Yeah. Bimachol gets Rashi's Girsa against everybody else. Rashi has the girsa we have. Yado shel adam ein lo kirshus am lo kirshus harabim lo dam yam yado de'ani kirshus hayachid lo dam yam yado de'bal bayis. Who has a different girsa? Everybody else. Who's the first to bring it down?
Balmor.
Before the Balmor. He's quoting somebody. Rina Chanano. This is very important. Rabbeinu Chananel has the girsa that it's not like Rosh Hashanah miyado de balabayis, and it's not like Rosh Hashanah Yochid from the yad of the ani. The exact inversion of what Rashi has. Right, so bring opposite cases as proofs. Okay, so you have two girsas in the Gemara. You can look at Rabbeinu Chananel. Just don't read Rabbeinu Chananel's explanation. But Amar Abai yado shaladim eino chashuva kirosh Hashanah Yochid miyado de ani. And our Gemara says, "Kirshus ha'yachid lo damya miyado de balabayis." Okay, so Rabbeinu Chananel has the exact opposite here. So. That's going to be hugely important. How many different interpretations of the Gemara of just Abayas suffix have you seen? Yes, yeah, so you see the Gemara?
Yeah.
How many different interpretations did you come up with in the Rishonim?
We only saw Rashi.
What? Just Rashi. Okay, just that's Rashi. Jennifer, how many different approaches are there in the Rishonim to this question of Baye Baye? It's not a trick question. Not a trick question. Two ways of understanding. You would say two? Jennifer, you agree? Hannah? Okay, so definitely there are two main approaches. I think there are three. What's the third?
The third two ways of understanding is just that it's not a question of what is the yada relationship to, is the yada relationship to the goof, to your goof or to the new issue, but it's just, is the yada objectively an issue?
Yeah, who seems to ask that question?
We saw it somewhere. Well, he will say it though.
It's really remarkable, she does.
One second.
Was it the red?
Not the red. I think
the red. I can't read this.
How many people's names start with Rabbeinu? Yes.
Yeah, I
guess. Yeah. Rabbeinu Chananel seems to pose that question in our sugya. Okay, so let's go through this very quick. So what does Rashi say? Rashi's read of the Gemara. Amar Abaye, Pshitul Yerushalam Eino Kolo Kirshus Rabim, Lo Kirshus Hayachid, Kirshus Rabim, Lo Damim, Yavad Ani. Let's see Rashi. Rashi, Dibur Masko, Amar Abaye, last wide line on top. Amar Abaye, Pshitul Yerushalam Eino Kolo Kirshus Rabim, Di Yado Shal Adam HaPshutul Yerushus Acheres, Eino Nizrekes Achar Gufo Lagamri, Lios Kirshushu Omid Ba, Bein Shu Rishus Hayachid, Bein Shu Rishus Rabim. So what's the Havmin of the Gemara? Abaye thought, I would have thought that the Yad takes on the Rishus of the Guf. So the Yad's in Rosh Hashanah Yochid, the Guf's in Rosh Hashanah Rabim. I would have thought the Yad is Kir Rosh Hashanah Rabim, and vice versa. When the Guf is in Rosh Hashanah Yochid and the Yad is in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, I would have thought that the Yad is Rosh Hashanah Yochid. Okay. What's the proof? Kir Rosh Hashanah Rabim lo damya miyado da'ani dekatani masnisin dechinata balabayas misocha pater. What's the case? The Ani sticks his hand into the other Rosh Hashanah. The balabayas takes from the hand. He's pater. If the yad of the ani took on the status of the rishus harabim, so when the balabayas takes from the hand of the ani, he should really be chayiv. Okay. That's how Rashi reads the Gemara. Seems like a very nice proof. All right. So you see clearly the yad does not take on the status of the goof. Let's turn to the balamor. Who is the Balamor? What? Yeah, Bzachi Alevi. What is the Balamor? What? He attacks the Rif. So if that's your assessment of the Balamor, so does the Rif say anything in our sugya? Is he attacking the Rif in our sugya?
No.
No, he's not. The Rif actually doesn't say anything in our sugya.
He kind of does by using Rashi's girsa.
Does he?
Of last Gemara.
Of last Gemara, you think?
Yad lo nach gufo nach, by not mentioning nigrar achar. We tried connecting.
Yad lo nach gufo nach. Right, he has the girsa of Rashi of not having adabasa gufo gar, which is interesting. But I'm not sure how that should immediately affect his read of the next sugya. Yeah.
If you say that Rashi's Lashitasa of the two sugyas, and by
right, not, that's right, it's hard to argue that in the riff, though.
Yeah.
Meaning. So Amar Abaye, so even the Dibur Maschi, the Rif doesn't quote this whole Gemara, right? It doesn't quote the din of Yerushalayim Ein Elok Shesir Am Elok Shesir Yachid. So a lot of Baal Mor is actually not Hasagos on the Rif. A lot of Baal Mor is like a parish on the Gemara. He just wrote his whole parish around the Rif. So this would be one good example. Amar Abaye, Yerushalayim Ein Elok Shesir Yachid Elok Shesir Am Pirish Yerushalayim HaPshuta L'Rishus Acheres Eina Ka'osa Rishus Shehi Pshuta L'Socha L'Gamri. So we don't say that the Yad is now Batel to the Rishus in which it's in. So whereas Rashi read the Havmin of the Gemara that the Yad takes on the status of the Guf, the Rishus of the Guf, the Baal Amor reads the Gemara that the Havmin is that the Yad should be Batel to the Rishus in which it's lying. Why? She'ilu ha'istak Rishus ha'yachid gemura kiven she'echnisa lifnim ha'yim eschayv la'alter. Very, very interesting claim. How does he know? What's the proof for the Gemara? So it's
the previous
Gemara. Perhaps. What's the proof of the case?
Do you think that Misfar, if you're going to say that your hand takes on the Rishu, if you have a Haman that your hand takes on the Rishu that it's in, then it should take for the whole inner has to take on that status the second that it crosses the Rishu, and therefore that's the case of the Baal by sticking it out into even before he drops it into the...
That's a very interesting claim, right?
Yeah.
Because the Baal Amor is saying that if the hand of the Ani now becomes Batel to the Rishus HaYachid, the Ani is putting his hand inside the Rishus HaYachid. So if it really becomes Batel at that second, then he should be Chayav for Hotzah the moment he puts his hand into the Rishus. Now, is that a very strong argument? No. What might one have said?
There's no Hanacha.
Yeah, he might have said it's still missing a Hanacha. Right, so it's not clear how the objective definition of just being in the Rishus is sufficient to make a kilo with Munach.
Unless he holds like Tosfos with the Shita of Rebbe Akiva. I guess.
I don't think we're holding Kuta here. You could have said like the Shita of the Ravid that we saw in the Shinuk Westing service and the Ravid on Daf Ches. What was the Ravid Shita? Rakiva Tzorah Hanacha. Going back before the break. What was the Ravid Shita? To explain the Gemara in Ksuvis, why there's Kimle B'Jav Mine for the Gneva and the...
The moment of the
Mechayev Hanacha
starts from the moment of...
Okay, that was the Gemara. Akira Tzara Hanacha. What was the Ravid Chiddush? Ramban quotes it here in Daf Ches by Zirza Dekani. The Ravid had this Chiddush that Akira Skuf is Shmei Akira. That even if you don't have a proper Akira, transferring Rishuyos itself has a din of Akira. So even if you're dragging an object and there's no proper Akira, the immediate transfer of Rishuyos is defined halakhically as an Akira. So if the Baal Amor was subscribing to something like the Baal Amor, that just the transition of Rishuyos halakhically is defined as an Akira, but applying it to Hanacha, then you could say something similar. But it doesn't seem, I mean, it's very hard, Shita, to maintain. That just changing Rishuyos itself will be defined as a Hanacha. It seems to be against everything we know. So this is a very strange accusation, right? So the moment you put your hand into the other Rishuyos, it should be Batel, and now it should be considered Munach. Okay, so what does he go on to say?
But I think he's also assuming, meaning, I don't think he would take the, meaning, because he compares it to, why would you chai, the same way that if you're Guf, went in. So I think it's not that he assumes that, right, the moment that you, like, I think it's connected to the Yad Rata Gufo stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Right? That, like, meaning, if you apply this Havamina of Yado Shaladam, right? If you apply this Havamina that your Yad is like the Rishu that you stick it into, plus you take Yad Rata Gufo, then as soon as I stick my hand into another Rishu, it's as if my Guf is there, the whole Inyan, and that provides the Hanacha also. Not because
but your Guf is in the other Rishus.
But if we say other Rata Gufo, so now it's like we're saying Gufo Rata Yado.
Why would you say that though?
Because that's what the Havamina is. If your hand takes the on the Rishut of,
then it'd be Kiyulu your entire Guf is.
Because we hold always your Yad is connected to your Guf. Well, if your hand's taking on the status of the Rishut, then your Guf
then it would be
also.
Considered, or then you would right, or then you would say that the Yad is considered Munach there also.
Your Yad and your Guf.
Is considered to be in this new Rishus.
Otherwise, I don't understand why it's comparing.
Like Gufo, Basar, Yado, Gar.
Because meaning if you hold that, we always have to say Yad Basar Gufo. And your hand's in, if the Ani when he sticks his hand is now.
That's nice. That's nice if you want to say that the Baal Amor here is like the direct inversion of Rashi. And like Rashi's Havmina is that the Yad should be Nimshach Achar Guf in terms of Rishus. And here you want to say that if you hold that the yad becomes like the rishus that it's in, then it's kind of like gufo's nigar achar yada. That's how you want to argue. That'd be very interesting claim. I might say a little stronger that if you hold that the yad is batel to the rishus that it's in, so then that's incompatible with holding yada basa gufo garir. So by definition, right now they're isolated. So then you might say that now the yad is considered nach, because what's preventing the yad from being, so I think this is what you were suggesting before, that this seems to work in well with which read of the Gemara of Daf Gimel Amud Aleph.
Yad
basar gufo garir.
Yeah,
because then you would say that the moment if the yad and the gufar are in the same rishus,
your head fell off and now it's
right, exactly. So then you would say that halachically now they're considered isolated entities, because the yad is halachically a different rishus from the guf.
So
then you would say it's also considered munach.
Yeah.
Right. So here you have the rishus dictating the status of the hanacha. Ve'od, what's his second objection? Then we have sorry. Ha nagi bibaya debai mine rab mi rabbi. Over time it's a kapasha the yada basa gufo greira. Lo have a gemura kirshus shehechniso lesocha. So the Balamar says the reason why we don't say the yad is batal to the rishus is only because now we're saying yada basa gufo garir. Okay, so that's how he understands the maskana vabaye and the connection between the two different gemaras. Ve'od ilu ha'isa yada shalani apshita lefnim kirshus hayachid gemura haya balabayis pater morter kshenasan lesocha kshenata misocha. Very interesting. A second point in the Gemara, meaning he's reading the Gemara as actually having a double tiered point. One from a case of why you're potter, right? That's yado da'ani, let's say. But then the Gemara is also making a separate point that if the yado shel'ani became like the rishus ayachid, then the potter of al usr case should be potter umutter. I put my hand inside the house. Jeremy takes something from my hand. That's the case of potter of al usr. I did that kira, he did the hanacha. But if my yad is really like Rosh Hashayachid, then Jeremy should be mutter, because he just took from Rosh Hashayachid. So Baal Amar is actually two objections. Now it's just interesting that the Rishonim, who joined the Baal Amar's crusade against Rashi here, so the Tosfos Rid is one example. Tosfos Rid only quotes one of the cases. They quote only one of those reads of the Gemara. Tosfos Rid, I think he quotes only the first read of the Gemara. And the Gemara asks, how come the Ani is not chayiv the moment he puts his hand into the Rishus? Right, so he holds like the Baal Amor, he has the Baal Amor's gears in the Gemara, like Ibn Hanano, but he reads that the only question of the Gemara is otherwise you should have been chayiv at the moment you put your yad in. Meaning he's not bothered by the Pater Umutter question. For some reason. The Ramban also joins the Baal Amor's attack against Rashi. But the Ramban only quotes the Pater Aval Mutter read of the Gemara. Now the Ramban is actually quite intuitive. Right? Why is the Ramban intuitive?
All the problems that we lose.
Right, because he doesn't like the idea that you could have a Hanacha just by putting your hand into the new Rishus. Right? The question is, why does Tosfos Rid not like the Pater Umutter example?
Okay.
What?
Because, I don't know.
What, it's pushing it?
No, I'm just like, it didn't, I don't know. Also, the outcome isn't as, meaning, it's much more striking when you have a problem with the outcome, right? Like, the outcome in the if you say, like...
Well, you have a problem with the outcome here.
Because
the outcome should have been Mutter.
Also, the Gemara itself didn't. I mean, the Gemara said it was pater. The Gemara, but in the Mishnah, it's not a problem in the Mishnah itself. The Gemara assumed that every case was pater. I don't know.
So why would you not like that objection? I understand the Ramban. I just don't understand why Tosfos Rid would adopt and why he would reject the Pater Umutter question. Q, what do you think? You understand the question? Yeah. Baal Amor are two different, read the Gemara as making a double point, right, from Yad Da'ani and Yad Da'al Abayis. One about a case of where you should have been Chayiv, just for putting your hand into the Rishus, And a second point about the Mishnah's case should have been Pater Mutter, not Pater Avalasar. Because if my hand, I'm the Ani, my hand is in your Rishus, then my hand now is Rishus Yachid. So when you take something from my hand, taking it from Rishus Yachid. So I understand why the Ramban doesn't like the Chiyuv question. Because putting my hand into another Rishus is not a Hanacha. I understand that. I don't understand until it's writ.
He must have a different understanding of Gemara and Gemara with Aleph of Turi de Atibu de Chiyuv Chatas.
Why?
Well, it can't be like Rashi, because Rashi is all about the fact that Akira is Tchilat Amlacha. This has to be the exact inverse, where for some reason Hanacha is the trigger for the Chiyuv Chatas. I'm not sure why.
So you might say for Tosas Rid that the reason why the Mishnah is Patar Velasar is that in a Hanami, let's say, it's considered to have taken it from, but let's say it's better. Could you maintain still that this is a case of Zeh Oker v'Zeh Meniach, and that's why it's Patar Velasar? I mean, could you say that since the hanacha of the ani, putting his hand through into the rishus of the rishus yachid is not considered a hanacha, so now taking it from the rishus of the ani, from the hand of the ani, is still going to be considered a hanacha, so now it's going to be usser based off zeh oker v'zeh meniach. That's going to be an isser. Even though al pi din he is kind of taking it from inside his own rishus yachid. But nonetheless, it's still considered the gemar of a ma'isa hotza of akira asani. So could you say for Tosas Rid, maybe, that you'd be chat, you'd say it's asr midin shnayim sha'asu malacha b'shabbos, even though the way that the action here transpired is that he did do an akira from within his own rishus hayachid, taking it from the yad of ani.
It's not
fully nach.
Right. And the yad is still connected to the goof that's in a different reshut, or is it saying that even if the yad is completely disconnected and it's a totally different reshut, it's still zeh oker v'zeh meniach of the same action?
Well, let's assume when I put my hand into the reshut now, so my hand is not nach. My hand takes on the properties of the reshut, so it's a reshut hayachid. So now you take something from my hand. So have you done a hanacha? And you put it down. Is that a hanacha?
I mean, according to your understanding of Tosfot Rid, yes.
That's what I said. Tosfot Rid would say that is considered the hanacha, even though you took it from within your own rishus.
No, I understand that. Just
thinking. I was just going to maybe offer a second way. This works really well with what we said last time, but yeah. The subjective hanacha, where it could be from two different people's perspective. So yeah. It's both hanacha for the ani, because he, from his perspective, he did hanacha according to the Tzava Amina. For the Balabais, it's also hanacha, because even though the object's smooth enough, from his perspective, it's not.
From whose perspective?
From the Balabais, who's now doing hanacha number two. For him, it's hanacha number one, because it was never really munach for him.
Okay, that would be a good suggestion also for Tosfos Rid. Is that what you could say?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. It's a good suggestion. Okay, so that's Tosfos Rid, and so they kind of split the two objections of the Baal HaMor into half. But the Ramban is a very sharp attack, actually, on Rashi's position. I mean, there are two issues here. One of them is the Girsa and the Gemara. Okay, the Baal HaMor and the Reina Chanan and the Ramban all have the Girsa that substantiates their read. You can see the Ramban makes this into a bit of a polemic. Ve'en ha-svarim modim le-girsa zu. It's actually two dinim, right? The girsos don't work out because he doesn't have Rashi's girsa. But also, v'lo hasvara mekabel asosa. So why doesn't he like Rashi's read? The pashut, the yado habshuta l'rishus hayachid, ein rishus harabim. V'chi yesh rishus harabim besoch hamechitzos? What an objection. What's the Ramban's objection? Let's take the first objection first, before you get to his vote, before you get to his valo afilu.
You can't conceive that your hand in another reshut can have the status of reshut.
Say it sharper. I'm not saying a din. It's impossible to have
one reshoot inside of another.
Is that true? Can't have a Rosh Hashanah Yachid inside Rosh Hashanah Rabbim?
You can't have your Yad. It's on the shoe.
Yes, do you see the Ramban?
No. Which one is it?
Oh. It's this one over here, I think. It's impossible to have a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim inside a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. It's a stira minei ube. It's tarted asasri. By definition, a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is a public domain, and you can't have a public domain inside a private domain. In Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, v'socha mechitzos. Yeah, that's a very interesting claim. Is that true? You can have a Rosh Hashanah Yachid inside Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but you cannot, you can never have a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim inside Rosh Hashanah Yachid. That's a very interesting objection. And Rachel's point is that the Ramban goes on to say, and you know that a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim only reaches 10 Tfachim even in a real Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Is that germane? Is that relevant to the idea that Rosh Hashanah Rabbim can't... Not really, right? Ramban seems to make an additional point that, look, a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim itself is very hard to establish. Right? It's really defined purely by being a Makom HaRabbim, where you have, and a lot of people, we'll get to the Gemara and Daf Vav, when we get to the Gemara and Daf Vav, we can talk about Rishuyos. So it's defined just by usage and where people are. So even above 10 Tfachim in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is not considered Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, which is not true for Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Rosh Hashanah Yachid is Ola Adler Rekia. So therefore, and so Kol Shekein, you're not really going to have, you can never have a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim inside a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Now what would Rashi say? How would Rashi object to that? What? Yes, you saw the Ramban now?
Yeah.
It's a good objection, right?
Yeah.
It's a very interesting objection.
Yeah.
So what would Rashi say?
Well, like, I was just imagining, like, imagine if, like, Rosh Hashanah Yachid was, like this gel block and you stuck your hand in. So, like, you made the exact space around your hand. Like, it just seems like an extension of where you're coming from.
Yeah, it's a beautiful illustration. Yeah. Exactly. 100%. Meaning it's... I give it one more time?
Like, you have it, like... If Rosh Hashanah Yachid is a gel block and you're sticking in from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, you're just perfect, like, it's just the border. Your hand is just the extension of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and, like, you just cut out the exact, like, you cut out the space, but it's not inside, like, it's just a funny border between Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and Rosh Hashanah Yachid.
Beautiful. You should go into, like, those, you know those, like,
yeah,
Gemaras that have, like, the illustrations?
Oh, yeah.
This like, this could be much better.
Yeah.
Right, so you might say that it's not that the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim now is really existing inside the Rosh Hashanah Yachid, but that this Yad has a din of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and it kind of just, like, exists in what would normally be a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Right? But it's not a proper, it's an extension, basically it's an extension of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim inside Rosh Hashanah Yachid. We'll see that there is such a concept as of extensions of Rishuyos when we get to the Gemara and Daf Vav. Churei Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, the holes of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim that seem to protrude into Rosh Hashanah Yachid. What's their status? So Rashi might say, I agree with the Ramban in principle that you can't have Rosh Hashanah Rabbim inside Rosh Hashanah Yachid, except that over here, it's not Rosh Hashanah Rabbim proper, it's the extension of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Or, maybe Rashi would balk at the Ramban's stronger assertion. Maybe Rashi would say that just like you could have a Rosh Hashanah Yachid inside Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, there are scenarios in which a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim could exist inside a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Okay, we'll have to see. Can you have, what does the Ramban say? What's his language, Yossi? It's a contradiction to have Rosh Hashanah Rabbim inside walls. And just look at the Gemara in Daf Vav for a second. Two dots on Daf Vav. Ari, you want to read it? Tan Rabbanan.
Arba Rishuyah L'Shabbos V'Shuda Yachid V'Shuda Rabbim V'Karmelit V'Makom Pater V'Ezohi Rishuyah Yachid Harid Shehu Amet Yod V'Rachav Dalad V'Chein Geder Shehu Gavoa Yod V'Rachav Dalad Zohi Rishuyah Yachid.
So what's Rishuyah Yachid? It's something that has walls around it. It's 4x4 Tfachim, and it has walls that go for 10 Tfachim, right? V'Ezohi Rishuyah Rabbim. What is Rishuyah Rabbim? Sratia uplatia gedola. So Sratia is like a highway. It's a road that goes from one city to the next. Platia gedola is a public square. Okay, like the marketplace of the city. So there's a very interesting position of the Rashba. I didn't have an Avodas HaKodesh at home. But the Ber Hetev quotes it in Simon Shin Mem Hei, which is the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos. So it's a big discussion of what is this Sratya. When we say that a public square is a Rishis Rabban, what does that mean? So the Rashba says, Matzasi le-Rashba, b'sefer Avodas HaKodesh, Chidush Gadol. De Platya, Afilu Dalsos HaMedina Ninalos Balayla, Toras Rishis Rabban Aleha. Very fascinating Shita. Even if you have walls around the public square, the marketplace, it would still be defined up as Rosh Hashanah. This is a big nafkamina. This is, you know, you always hear these controversies, like let's say it's something like Times Square. Let's say it's like the public square of a city. So let's say you built walls around it. So you'd assume like an Erev would work, right? Because now it has mechitos, now it's Rosh Hashanah. The Rashba holds that if you have something that's defined al pi din as Rosh Hashanah, it is a public property like this Sratya, then even mechitos won't turn it into Rosh Hashanah. I mean, Rosh Hashanah isn't defined necessarily by the structure of the mechitos and the reshuyos, but it's defined primarily by what it is. So if this is a Sratya, the Platya Gedola of the city, so you can never turn it into Rosh Hashayachim. All the mechitos in the world wouldn't help. So this would seem to be directly in contradiction to the Ramban's assertion, the Chiyesh Rosh Hashayachim Besof Mechitos. That at least with respect to a Sratya, you could have Rosh Hashayachim inside mechitos. Right, so it could be that Rashi would ascribe to something similar to this Rashba. Okay? One final point. Is anybody in a rush, or can we do 2 more minutes?
Yeah.
What?
Okay.
So that's the Rashba's Chiddush, and it could be that Rashi would buy. So either Rashi would say something like Yossi, either Rashi would say something like Yossi, or Rashi would say that in a Chacham you could have a Rishus Ram inside Mechitzas of Rishus Ayachi. What's Rabbeinu Chananel's Shita in our sugya? Now notice, all the Rishonim are invoking Rabbeinu Chananel. Ramban invokes Rabbeinu Chananel, I think the Baal Mor did, I can't say. Maybe the Baal Mor didn't, but the Ramban definitely does. The Rashba definitely does, the Rizba definitely does. So everyone look at Rabbeinu Chananel. Amar Abaye, Yadosh Shel Adam Eina Chashuva Kirshus Hayachid, Miyado De'ani Hanesuna Bachutz. She'ilu Haisa Kirshus Hayachid, Lo Haya Baal Abaye Hanot Lamisocha Chayev. Ve'od, Ilu Haisa Kirshus Harabim, Lo Nes Chayev Ha'ani Hanot Lamisocha, Ve'hu Baabaye Chayev. Whoa. What's Rabbeinu Chananel's case?
The first case of the Mishnah, the Chiyuv of the Mishnah.
What's the scenario?
Where, let's say the Ani has the object in his hand and the Baal HaBayis is the one that snatches it from outside and takes it.
Wow. So the Ani has the object in his hand outside. So Ani is totally outside. The Baal HaBayis sticks his hand outside and takes the chepetz and brings it inside. Baal HaBayis is chayev, kizidakir, and the hanacha. Argues Rabbeinu Chananel. Were it to be the case that a yad is defined as a Rishus HaYachid, and the Baal HaBayis should have been Pater. And similarly, the Baal HaBayis is holding something in his hand inside. The Ani sticks his hand in and takes something from it. Were it to be the case that a Yad is defined as Rosh Hasharabim, then the Ani should have been Pater. That's a crazy read of the Gemara. Meaning the Havamina here, according to Abaye, is not that the Yad should have been Batel to the Guf, or that the Yad should have been Batel to the Rosh Hashanah in which it's in. Not like the Baal HaMor, not like Rashi. The Havamina is that the Gemara is asking an objective question about Yad. Maybe Yad should always be Rosh Hashayachid. Perhaps that's understandable. No matter where it is, a Yad and Rosh Hashayachid would be Rosh Hashayachid. Or maybe the Yad should always be Rosh Hashayachid, no matter where it is. That's harder to understand. How in the world a Yad inside Rosh Hashayachid should be defined as Rosh Hashayachid. Right? That's a very fascinating Havamina, and a biased thing, it can't be from the Mishnah. That would be sensational. And that seems to be the pashas in what he's saying. A lot of Achornim don't believe that Rabbeinu Chananel could have been saying something like that. So they read Rabbeinu Chananel as saying something similar to Rashi. There's a bit of ambiguity as to who the subject is.
Lo haya balabayas hanot la misocha
achayev.
So Amar Abaye, Yad HaShalom Eino Chashuv HaKishteyach Ol Miyad HaDa'ani Han Nesuna Bachutz Sh'ilu Haysa HaKirshis HaYachid Lo Haya Baal Abayis Han Nod LeMisoch HaChayev Vod Ilu Haysa HaKirshis HaRabim Lo Nes Chayev HaAni Han Nod LeMisoch HaVuhu Abayis Chayev. Okay, so I think the way some Achornim learn this is that the Havamina is that when, like Rashi, the Ani has the Chayfetz in his hand outside, the Baal Abayis is Poshed Yado to take it from the Ani, which is Rabbeinu Chananel's case. But the chiddush here is that you see the yad of the Baal HaBayis is not considered like a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Okay? Because if it was considered like a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, then the Baal HaBayis should have been chayiv from the moment that he took the chayfetz out of the hand of the ani. What?
That we saw already.
We saw the question of the Baal Amor that you should be chayiv the moment you put your hand into the rishus. Right?
Yeah.
He's saying that if the hand of the Baal HaBayis bifnim, Baal HaBayis,
right,
if his hand is defined as
rishus
hayachid and his hand is in rishus ram, he should be chayiv the moment he picks it up. That's the Havamina.
Right.
That's the Havamina. Yad HaShalom is rishus hayachid. So the moment he takes it out of the hand of the ani, he should have been chayiv. Hear the case?
Mm-hmm.
That's like kind of Rashi reading. The hand of the Baal HaBayis is defined based off the rishus that the guf is in. So why is that not true? Okay. So he argues, this is how he wants to, this is the basis of all, this is how he wants to explain Rabbeinu Chananel, that you can't have an akira and a hanacha that happen simultaneously. Were it to be the case that the hand of the Baal HaBayis is defined as a rishus hayachid, even when it's in the rishus harabim, so Nakira is happening the moment he picks the object out of the hand of the Ani. Hanacha is happening at that same instant. Because his hand is now defined as the Makom Hanacha. So you'd have an Akira and Hanacha Vasachas. And that, they want to say, is what Abai is coming to say. Can't have an Akira and Hanacha Vasachas. That's very interesting. Why not? Why can't you have an Akira and Hanacha Vasachas? Why is that a Tartar Sasri? Who cares?
Process.
What?
Process.
What do you mean it's process?
And the Hanukkah has to come after, like...
Why?
It's not what they did in the Mishkan.
I agree with you. No, I would say strong and it's not in the Mishkan. But I would say...
There has to be a Maisa Akira and a Maisa Hanukkah.
What's the problem with saying that there's simultaneity for Akira and Hanukkah?
There has to be an upwards motion and a downwards motion.
Maybe.
So you can't you can't take something off the floor and put it like on a high shelf and the other shelves.
No, because when you do
I don't know about technical point, but it's just not what's on.
Why not?
It's just not.
You have an Akira, you have a Hanacha. You have an Akira in one rishus, you have a Hanacha in another rishus. What's missing?
It's the same
shoot. Well, it's not because you're being okered from the rishus harabim. And it's noch at the same instant in your hand.
But then it's like intrusion at the same time.
Okay. No one has a problem with that. So what do you say? So you might argue, this is a very interesting question, do you need, by definition, some duration for the process of hutzah? Just like bishul, for example.
Okay.
No one thinks that bishul could happen instantaneously. Right? By definition, it's the process of cooking. You can't have it cooked if it's in the oven and out of the oven at the same second. I wonder if Akira and Hanacha, by definition, you need some sort of motion in order to be chayiv. By definition, classical physics, right? Yeah, x equals vt. Distance is defined by the velocity times the time. So if you have no time, right, there's no duration to the activity, then by definition, there's no extension, there's no travel through space. So you might say that it's not true that Akira in one Rosh Hashanah and Hanacha in another Rosh Hashanah is sufficient to mechavi for Hatzah. You might need an Akira in one Rosh Hashanah and Hanacha in another Rosh Hashanah with some traveling through space in between. That's part of the mechayiv of Hatzah. Okay. Let me just end with a quick point on Hagdaras Yado Kekarmelis. So now Abaye comes along and Abaye says, it's not like a Rosh Hashanah Yachad, it's not like a Rosh Hashanah Rabim. Elamai Yado Shalom is Kekarmelis. Does he mean that seriously or does he not mean it seriously? So there are four things we could point to just to pin this down. First of all, Tosos Dibra Maschil Ma'al Shetasa Ki Karmelis. Tosos notes the Gemara in Erevin on Sadi Chesem Ebeiz has an explicit case where you can say that a Yad is always a Karmelis. What's that case? Case is, you stick your hand into another Rishus, you put your hand out the window, and you start playing with something in the Rishus Arabim. So there's no Isser in doing that, according to the way you Paskin. So Tosos says, clearly you see that the Yad is not always a Karmelis, because then you're taking from a Rishus Arabim into your hand, which is a Karmelis. So what the Gemara means that Yad HaShalom is Karmelis is only with respect to taking an object out of Rishus HaYachid. When something goes into your hand from a Rishus HaYachid into Rishus HaRabim, then the Yad has a din of a Karmelis. But objectively, we're not defining the Yad as a Karmelis. Okay, because otherwise, it should be ushered even to move things around when your hand is outside the window. So let's look at that. Tosos. Kegon Shehotzi Yado Mileya Lachutz V'la Hadura. The question of the Gemara is, once you put your hand out, could you bring it back? Aval B'inyan Acher. Lo, the Hatzan Be'ervin, Omid Adam Rishus Ayachin, Metalto Bishus Arabim, Velo have a Karmelis, El Inyan Rishus Shaguf Sham, Shedoma Yosel Shte Rishios. It's not objectively a Karmelis, it's relatively defined as a Karmelis. So that's one mitigation of Yadok Karmelis. The second point is, Mikan Tsur Rabban Lahadure. The Gemara wants to know, you put your hand out, could you bring your hand back in? Right, so you have something in your hand, you put it out the window, could you bring it back in? So Gemara's Argir says, Mikan Tsur Rabban Lahadure. Tosa says, Nir Lari, De Garas Mi Asruha. Now this is a bit incompatible with what Tosa said when you were Maskel earlier, because if you say it's a Knas, then it means you're acknowledging that the Yad is not really a Karmelis. It's simply a Knas of the Chachamim. The Chachamim don't want you moving things through Rishuyos even if you're not violating Hutzah. Or do you say Mi Asruha Rabbanan, that it's Asur simply because of the fact that your Yad is a Karmelis? So it's nichlal in the regular din of Yisra Karmelis. Can't bring from Rishus Rabim into a Karmelis, can't go from Rishus Yachid into a Karmelis. So two Girsos here take a stance on whether Yad is really defined as a Karmelis or not. The Rashba here has a very strong objection also to this notion of Yad being a Karmelis. The Gemara here has a question. Hotzi Yado Malaya Tashma. Haisa Yado Malaya Peros v'Hotzi Elochutz. So what's the Gemara wants to know? You put your hand outside. So is there an Isser to bring it back in? Safik of the Gemara. So the question here, so the Rashba says, that Safik, is that only when you put your hand into Rosh HaSarabim? Or is that equally applied to a case when you're standing on Rosh HaSarabim and you put your hand into Rosh HaSayachid? Right? Let's say I'm standing in Rosh HaSarabim. I put my hand into Rosh HaSayachid. Is there an Isser for me to pull my hand back out? The Gemara's case is I'm standing in Rosh HaSayachid, I put my hand into Rosh HaSarabim. What's the Safik? Anybody see the Rashba? So the suffix is, if you hold Yad is really like a Karmelis, so then the Rashba argues you can't have a Karmelis inside Mechitzos. Just like the Ramban said for Shisaram inside Mechitzos. So if Yado is really a Karmelis and that's the basis of the Isser, then of course it should be mutter to put your hand inside the house and pull it back out. Because Yado is a Karmelis, a Karmelis can exist inside a Rishus HaYachid, so there's no basis for the Isser of taking your hand back out. So he actually seems to be saying, so he argues therefore the Yad can't really be a Karmelis. The Rashba also has another point where he asks, we'll see, the next line of the Gemara says, if you put your hand into a Rishus Harabim with something in it. So the Gemara says, maybe you could bring your hand Lamala Me'asara and then pull your hand back into your Rishus. So ask the Rashba a question. We generally have a principle that you're allowed to go from a Rosh HaSarabim to a Makom Patur. You're allowed to go from a Rosh HaSayachid to a Makom Patur. But you can't take something from a Rosh HaSayachid to a Rosh HaSarabim through a Makom Patur. It's like Zera Midravana. Okay? Even though really it's Mutter. Ravach Lo Yachlif. Okay? You just can't use it to go from one Rosh HaSayachid to the other. So the Rashba says, wait a second. In this case, that the Gemara has enough Gimel base, so you put your hand into a Rosh HaSarabim, which is a Karmelis, your hand's a Karmelis, you're bringing your hand Lamala Me'asara, and now you're bringing it into Rosh HaYachid. So isn't that a case of going from a Karmelis to a Malkum Patur to a Rosh HaYachid? So why shouldn't that be Aser? Uvaj LeYachlif. So the Rashba says, maybe because Yad is not really a Karmelis, that's why it's Mutter. Okay, so Abaye does have the statement, Yad Shaladim is a Karmelis. Tosus already knocks it down from the Gemara in Erev and Tzadiches. The other Rishonim knock it down based off the Girsa of Mikan Tzua versus Miyasrua. The Rashba knocks it down because he wants to know about a case of putting your hand into Rosh HaYachid and the Karmelis can exist inside of Rosh HaYachid. Then the Rashba knocks it down again because he says it's clear from the Gemara that you could switch from Rosh HaYachid to Rosh HaRabim through the Mokom Ptur, but that should be also if it's really a Karmelis. So even though he says it's a Karmelis, we don't mean that it's a full-fledged Karmelis like we'll see on Dafa. Okay? So that's the Gemara in Gimel Beis here with the discussion of Yerushal Adam Eino Lokushis Ram Loke Rishis Ayachid. So we're going to stop here. We're going to continue in the Shakavatai of the Gemara and Gimel on the base. We're going to talk, there's a very fascinating discussion here about Rediyas HaPas. What's going on with Rediyas HaPas? That's going to be our next sugya. I'll give you Makoros. And then we have the Gemara on Dalet and Manalef, which is really a beautiful sugya of Chatei Kadesh Yizka Chavercha. And we'll spend some time on Chatei Kadesh Yizka Chavercha. So Rediyas HaPas. What's the Isra Rediyas HaPas? Is it a Malacha? Is it a Chachma? Why is it Asr in this case? Does it depend when? We'll see. It's actually interesting. Rif, Rach, and then we'll get into Chatei Kadesh Yizka and Daf Dalet. Okay. So I'll give you my Makoros this afternoon.